Friday video out here previewing the Dolphins taking on the New England Patriots. Omar's out here pissing off people. What is up, Finn fans? How's everyone doing on this glorious, glorious Friday? Before we jump into all the good stuff, I do have to keep you guys up to date with the sponsors. And obviously, we have SeatGeek, fantastic, fantastic sponsor. If you're going to the game on Sunday, go grab yourself some tickets. Use SeatGeek. Use the promo code PHINSFINS, and you get $20 off your first purchase. 28 million downloads, 70,000 events, the Dolphins being one of them. So again, you're going there, you don't got a ticket yet, go on SeatGeek, use our code, you get $20 off your first ticket. We also have another fantastic sponsor that I use all the time, and that is Sleeper. If you use the promo code HMA, you get 100% up to $100 match. Now, with Sleeper, they have a cool little thing, more or less. And I'm going to run through this real quick with the guys. And like I did last time, last Friday, I'm just going to pick you randomly. Tua, let's go with TD. 231 and a half passing yards, more or less.
Less.
Ooh, Devon Achan, half a touchdown.
I went over last week.
Allen, more or less?
More.
There we go. Tyreek Hill, let's go with Omar Kelly. 61.5 receiving yards, more or less?
What was the receiving yards?
61.5.
Oh, I'm going over. Over. Go. Big game.
Bigger question. Tyreek, reception of 30, more than 30 yards, yes or no?
Yes.
He's going to get a bomb today. I'll take this one. Jalen Waddle, 48.5 receiving yards. I'm going to go more as well. Their secondary got torch. We'll go more into this against the Raiders and without Gonzalez out there. Again, it's going to be interesting. TDU end it for us. Ollie Gordon, anytime touchdown, half, more or less.
Less.
Yeah, because they're probably not going to really use them that much.
Yeah,
you probably are. Yeah.
They certainly didn't use them that much in the first game, even though they said that their plan was to use them.
Yeah.
Also, if you want to become a member, you can hit the join button next to the subscribe button. You probably see our faces in the chat, our beautiful, beautiful faces. You also get your name at the end, and you can tell us how long you've been a member, and you get a question answered. It's a really cool little perk there. And as well, you can find us on Spotify and Apple. Leave a 5-star rating. Let us know. So, previewing the Dolphins game, let's real quick jump into the injury report. We have four players out. None of them should be a surprise. Austin Jackson dealing with a toe injury. Benito Jones dealing with an oblique. Darren Waller, that's all I got to say about that. Storm Duck with an ankle injury out. And then we have two doubtfuls in Ethan Bonner and Jalen Wright. But they went from not practicing to limited. How much did you guys see of Jalen Wright? Did he get a little bit, like, do you expect him against Buffalo? Is that why he's not Buffalo playing against the Patriots?
Maybe. I think he's probably 2 weeks of practice before you're gonna see him back in the action. But while they have access to Jeff Wilson, I think they're still gonna continue to use Jeff Wilson.
Yeah, and so, remember the next week the practices are basically walkthroughs.
Yeah, because it's a short week. So definitely probably against the Jets, since they have like a little mini bye week before the Jets. Okay. And then you have the Patriots, who are without Christian Gonzalez. I was talking to a Patriot YouTuber, and he said Gonzalez hasn't been practicing pretty much all of training camp with that hamstring injury. It's really nagging him. Keon White will also be out, and then you have two questionables in Morgan Moses, which is interesting, and Mary Mapu, the linebacker.
Morgan Moses is a big absence. They're probably going to have a replacement out there at right tackle, so it's not just going to be Tua that's out there with a newcomer.
And if it is a newcomer, it's going to be a rookie seventh round pick, Marcus Bryant.
Very interesting. Let's get into kind of what I hinted at before, which was last week. Now, the Patriots got torched like absolutely torched by the Raiders. Raiders don't really have any great receivers. Obviously, they have Brock Bowers, a very, very good tight end.
But respectful. Raiders don't have any great receivers. Hold on.
They don't. Jacoby Myers is a decent player when he's not lateraling on the last play of the game, of a tight game from the what was it against? It was against New England. No, he was New England against the Raiders. When you remember that play when he lateraled from the
oh
the,
yeah. And then who is that?
Chandler Jones.
Yeah, just stiff arm.
Yeah. Mike Jones, you sit down.
Their total on defense, total yards is 26. They gave up 389 last week. Passing is 31st. They gave up 333 yards. They are fifth in rush defense with 56, 14th in scoring. They gave up 20 points. They are third, though, in sacks, which worries me because, again, the whole right side of our line is new. 12th and third down completion percentage, 38.5, and they only had one takeaway. So, again, without having Gonzalez out there, what is your guys' thoughts on what the Dolphins offense can do to attack this defense? We'll start with PD.
I'm concerned about it, actually. You got to look at why the Raiders were able to move the ball on the New England Patriots. One weapon that they have that we don't have at all is a tight end named Bowers. And he was ripping them to shreds. And that was a big, I mean, 20 yards a catch, 20.6 yards a catch or whatever. They were ripping him to shreds. So I can't count on that advantage for the Miami Dolphins.
What, you and don't believe in Julian Hill?
See, Omar. No, let me just okay. I'll play with you. No, I don't. Okay. And Jacoby Myers, let's not forget, Geno was operating outside the numbers.
Yeah,
and doing a solid job doing it, actually. Mm-hmm. So again, an area that I don't know if I feel confident in us actually doing. And in the passing game, that was about 70% of their passing game right there. Just those two things: operating outside the numbers, tight end going crazy over the middle. Miami don't have that. Miami don't have either of those elements. And the Raiders got their run game shut down.
Yeah.
The Patriots. So it's not what people think when you look at, oh, they went crazy on them. Man, Geno just had a great day with the tight end over the middle and the outside throws to Myers, explosive plays. So I can't see the Dolphins having a huge advantage there. But what I can tell you is that we're going to run a lot at this inexperience or defense with Rabel because this is new to them, what they're trying to do. And we have to take advantage of that. Not having Christian Gonzalez out there stretching the field and seeing where you can get your opportunities. Something's going to have to replace opportunities over the middle that Brock Bowers, you know, did for the Raiders. But Miami Daniel just got to figure that piece of it out. So you just asked about offense, right?
Yeah, well, I got a question just to push back a little bit. They have Bowers. We don't have a tight end, which you're 100% correct. Yeah. But they also don't have Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle. Is that something that could equal out by the attack of that defense? And even you can throw Malik in there and Devon Achane as a receiving threat. Do you think that would kind of equal out what Bowers was doing and what we could do? Or do you think Bowers is just that seam threat that we really don't have?
Well, one thing to consider as well, when I went back and I watched the tape on that game, Geno did a good job extending plays too.
Yeah.
Just think about the ones on the run that he had to make, you know, and he got in some lucky things. I feel like. So, I mean, we got Tyreek and Waddle. I agree with you and Achane catching out of the backfield. That's why I say McDaniels have to make sure that we get those guys active and be creative, getting them the football. And I also think we can screen this team. It depends how Vrabel plays. I don't know what to expect with New England's defense, honestly, us, because he may not even do the same thing he did versus the Raiders.
Alan, what's your thoughts about their defense and how they performed against the Raiders and what the Dolphins can do?
They didn't perform against the Raiders. They sold out to stop Genty and they did a good job. I mean, 19 carries, 38 yards. And I saw the game as well. I watched the replay of it. And the coverage was really, really poor down the field. And mind you, they're breaking in two new safeties because they've benched Kyle Duggar. They released Jabril Peppers. So now it's Craig Woodson and Jalen Hawkins who are suspect. I'm not going to use the Omar term because I don't want to go there. I don't want to offend opponents. let's say they're suspect.
Question marks.
Very good. Deep question marks. So I didn't like their. I don't think their coverage was very good at all. This is where the Dolphins could make some money there. Obviously, they have to protect Tua. Milton Williams was a guy who was very disruptive in the middle of that New England defensive line, the free agent from the Eagles. But this is a matchup. And here's the thing. We know the Dolphins are gonna make adjustments, do better than they did offensively than in week one.
Hopefully.
Same applies. This is not going to be the Mike Vrabel defense the whole year. This was their first shot with him. I would expect them to tighten up. I would be a lot more concerned with this matchup, and I hate to make one player that much of a difference. Christian Gonzalez being out is big because now they have Carlton Davis III on one side, who's a very good cornerback, and the other one's a very unproven commodity, Alex Austin.
Mm.
And along with two suspect safeties, I think, that, again, if the Dolphins' passing game is ever going to wake up and do some damage, maybe more than with bubble screens and short passes, this is the game.
Omar, how can the offense counteract what that pass rush is going to do on the right side of the line? Trenches, baby. I hate to give you a trenches question.
Oh, God. Unfortunately, by having to use a quick trigger and running the ball. Now, we haven't had much success running the ball in past years, but they started off pretty well, even though you guys poo-pooed my earlier success of the 6.5 yards per carry, which was 30.
5 for 14 at the half.
Hey, and two of those runs were quarterbacks, so that was only 10 carries. I'm just saying, like, let's put some respect on it. Let's hope that they can run the ball with
Omar. One of those runs was a 7-yard scramble, so it wasn't like they didn't gain yardage. Anyway,
I am hopeful that the run game can balance out what they want to do from an offensive standpoint. Maybe it will wake up the play-action passing game, which when you take away the play-action passing game, Tua is basically playing with one arm behind his back. But the major concern, and as I've warned you guys for the past 2 months, if not all entire offseason, is what happens to this offensive line when you're playing with offensive linemen number 7 and number 8, which is what's happening. And here we are. It's just going to rush the operation for Tua, which is going to continue to stifle the passing game, which is going to continue to frustrate the wide receivers, which is going to continue to make them look like a dink-dunk offense.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. And then you look at it on the flip side, our defense let them score every single drive against Indianapolis, every single drive. They are 29th in the NFL.
Hey, the defense did not let them score. Indianapolis found a way to score 7 drives.
Yes, I'll give you that.
Miami was unable to stop them.
A lot of Dolphin fans are going to be watching that Colts-Broncos game and hoping that the Colts blow the Broncos out. So we're going to like feel, okay, maybe the Colts are just really that good.
They're not going to blow them out. Don't be shocked if they win.
Yeah, I would. Well, we would. It would make Dolphin fans feel better if it's another 33-8.
Yeah.
34-8. How's that?
If we get to midseason and the Indianapolis Colts are this year's Minnesota Vikings, last year's Minnesota Vikings, we'll feel a lot better about getting pimp slapped by the Colts in the season opener. But yeah, it's one thing I thought about this today. I think I had a conversation with somebody. Their strength, which is their offensive line, counteracted your strength, which is your defensive line.
Mm.
End of story. Like,
and they dominated that matchup.
They dominated. Their strength beat your strength and neutralized everything that you could do, wanted to do, possibly thought about doing on defense. Okay, now what? Mm-hmm. You know, how many teams does the Dolphins face that has the Colts offensive line? I don't know that many, but
not New England, that's for sure.
Yeah, not New England. But here's the thing: if we go into another game where the pass rush is ineffective again, despite their 4-man wave and Zach Sealer and the blitzes that they throw, then we gotta wonder what the heck is going on here, because this is how your team was built.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And like I was saying, stat wise, 29th in total yards, 25th in passing, 27th in rushing, 29th in scoring, 22nd in sacks. We only got one sack. 19th in third down conversion rate. That's not too bad.
Yeah, they spent all last year like top five in third down conversion rate. It was like,
and then 30th in takeaways. Not even 30th. Sorry, we didn't get a takeaway. I think we're like 32nd.
Last, but Doug, the rankings are all after 1 week, so
it's exactly. Well, something to go off of. Simple. But yeah, so how can this Dolphin defense, like, are we going to sit here and have Drake May have another fantastic game, or is the team going to, you know, get together and actually not freelance, like, you know, Bradley Chubb was saying?
I don't like that freelance excuse. I've heard that.
I don't agree with it.
I've heard that for so many years. When you have a bad defensive effort, you hear, oh, everybody was freelancing. Everybody. Mm.
But when it work, it's silence and happiness and praise.
So then what was the actual reason that the defense sucks so bad?
They got physically whooped and they got out-schemed. But that's not something guys are going to say.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
So then how do you correct that?
You don't get physically whooped.
There might have been like what?
Easier said than done.
I loved Kelvin Shepard. And
did you see that?
Yeah, I'm a big Kelvin Shepard fan, because when he was here, I loved him. I thought he was not only a good player, but he was insightful. He was thoughtful. It does not surprise me that he's a defensive coordinator, and he gave a phenomenal opening press conference, which basically nailed it down and said, we extract three plays from our defense and we're exactly what we want it to be. We just got to play better. And it was, I don't know if you guys saw that press conference, but it was like.
Not only that, he was asked about facing Ben Johnson, his former colleague. And he was like, I couldn't care less about Ben Johnson. I'm worried about my players and that's it. Next question. I mean, he was like.
Yeah.
He was angry.
I got a comment on that though. What you asked, Doug, how do we not get out
physical?
And beat up. And a part of it is schematic, but this is a moment where we got to be honest.
Mm.
Because they were more physical than you. They were
in what areas?
They were stronger. They were better than you. In some cases, they were even more skilled than you.
In what? But you got to be more specific. In what areas are we specifically talking about?
The roster. We got to have honest conversation if we're going to be blunt. And this is why, and Omar don't like to acknowledge this. This is why we beat the bad teams, because they can't. We're better, and the good teams that's more physical and better, they beat us. This is the correlation. And when you run into those teams, you outmatch. You're
supposed to be better than the Colts, and they just smack you around. So,
yeah. Well, I don't know. Not the trenches, though.
Same record last year.
Okay, that's fair. And at home, so okay.
And we know their trenches were legitimate. Ours, we were going off of hope, and if those guys healthy, and that they could pick up where they – all this if. Mm. That we knew their O-line was legitimate. Mm-hmm. Our pass rush, if Bradley Chubb can come back healthy and –
Hold on. We knew they had an absolute stud at guard with Nelson. We knew they had a very good tackle on Ryman. They're also breaking in two new starters because they lost two starters in free agency. So I don't know that we knew their entire line was going to be really good. We just knew they had two studs. It's not.
I knew that they had good foundational pieces, and the guys they brought in were above average guys. You know, so collectively that O line should have been straight. We've been hearing all off season that this D line is the strength. It's going to be the strength. It's going. Man, that was unheard of what I was watching with the lack of pressure.
Mm-hmm.
So. And I know you were talking about the defense, Doug. I guess that brings me to the whole point of the matter. Our pass rush, even though New England has a bad line, okay, let's be clear. Now, it's better than it was last year and natural progression, but it's still – they got a lot they have to prove. But this pass rush, they don't convince me until they convince me.
Yeah.
And they got to go out there and have a big day for this team, because otherwise we're not going to sit here and ignore at like Drake Maiden throw the football around the field.
Mm-hmm.
Should point out, by the way, the Patriots are starting rookies at left tackle and left guard. Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be like a flip of the Dolphins situation. So week on their blind side,
one's the fourth overall pick in the draft, so they're kind of not being weak, and the other one's a rookie third round pick. So.
Yeah.
So we'll see how that looks, but that's where we're going to have to win the game. Our defensive line can impact the game greater than anything, even the offense. I think that's where it's, because Drake May's going to throw the rock. And now, can they get in the end zone? I don't know. But Drake May's going to throw the football. They put the ball in his hand over 40 times, and he had 30 completions.
Do you guys feel better that Rasul Douglas is out there over Storm Duck? Dead silence. Perfectly explained. I will say this. When Rasul came in after Storm Duck went out and he almost had that interception, it like slightly made me feel a little bit better. It's like, all right, you know, he's played this game at a certain level before, so it made me feel better. It's like Alan, with your thoughts on Ewers versus Wilson, the experience is there, so it makes me feel a little bit better that Rasul's out there. And now we got, so it's Rasul and Jones are our starting corners, which makes you feel a little better.
Jack Jones.
With good ball skills for both players. Both players will get the ball if they get the chance.
Now you have to play them the right style and the right scheme. The one thing that concerns me about the secondary a lot is that they're very predictable in terms of what they're going to play. And if I'm a quarterback and I know that, and if I'm a receiver and I know that, without ever getting any pre-snap reads, then it's very easy for me to play. And I felt like that was the difference in the game for Daniel Jones. Mm. He knew what to expect from the Dolphins defense. Mm. Like, you know, how often are they going to press? Very rarely. And I think it was Chicago where I was just like, yo, or Detroit, I can't remember. I was like, this could be a problem. I was like, this could be a problem.
Not, bro.
The fact that you can't like diversify what you play and how you play. But
because you kept saying that every time someone would throw like a name at you, like, oh, Asante Samuel Jr., this, that, you were like, they're not playing man. You're just like very like, this is what they have to play. And
it was, you know what it was? It was when Chicago just jammed the snot out of their receivers, the Miami's receivers, and you just saw all of these Smurfs get rerouted and Tua's throwing to like empty spots on the field, and you're like, wait a minute. And it clicked to me. These guys haven't faced press like since OTAs.
Mm-hmm.
Like nobody has ever tried to reroute them. And I was like, wait a minute here. This is a problem. But, you know, hey, we are where we are. I wrote a piece in the Sun Sentinel where, you know.
Whoa, Omar. You wrote a piece in the Miami Herald.
My bad. Mm-hmm. I wrote a piece in the Miami Herald. 22 years in another place. All right.
Syndicated. Maybe they picked it up in syndication.
It's quite possible. That's how I got this job. Stuff I used to write for you got picked up in the Miami Herald and did ridiculous traffic. You know what you guys know my philosophy.
Mm.
After a loss, I'm going to put my foot in your butt.
Mm-hmm.
When you win, I'll praise you. But when you lose, I'm going to stick the foot where it need to go.
Mm.
So this week I spent some time doing research, and I remembered the, you know, we're always trying to solve this answer in this crisis about why do we fall short in November, December? Why do we have these toughness issues? Why are we always injury depleted at the end of the season? And then it came to my mind, the Bill Parcells, bigger is better, planet Earth theory, you know, you roster full of exceptions. When you make exceptions, next thing you know, you look up, you have a roster full of exceptions. Then I started looking at the Dolphins roster. Third smallest quarterback in the NFL.
Preach.
Smallest starting running back in the NFL. And then the backup, this intended backup, Jalen Wright, is only an inch taller and 17 yards heavier.
Wow.
I mean, he's cut. I mean, he's like, come on.
But he's still small. By like I looked up what the average of an NFL running back is, and they weigh 220 pounds.
Okay, and what's it?
Wide receiver, five of six guys are 5'10" and under.
Yep.
You get to the tight ends. We're only two available. One's a former converted wide receiver.
Yeah. Projects.
Let's skip the offensive line.
Smallest center in the NFL.
Then you defensive line, they're kind of okay. Then you get to the linebackers, one of the smaller inside linebacking cores in the NFL, where your biggest inside linebacker is Willie Gay, and he is defined as a small linebacker in the NFL, which is why he's had a fledgling NFL career. And he's your biggest inside linebacker. Secondary, you know how that is. It's a whole unit of undrafted guys, and, you know. So I'm not, and some of them are tall, like 6'3" and 6'2". We finally do have some tall cornerbacks that just got here like 3 weeks ago. Yeah. But the point is, okay, we started making these exceptions for these super talented players. And then here we are looking up 4 years later, the whole roster's full of exceptions.
Mm-hmm.
And what I had the conversation with Mike McDaniel today, and it was a 6 minute answer, which I'm appreciative that it was a 6 minute answer, because it let me know some of his thought process and philosophy and how things changed over the years in his mind. Because interestingly enough, the tree that he comes from is a completely contrasting tree from the Bill Parcells tree.
Mm.
Whereas Bill Parcells is big, the prototypes, Mike Shanahan, they want fast athletes.
Yeah.
And so it's like the trying to marry both worlds, because Chris Greer comes from the Bill Parcells tree. His first job was in New England under the Patriots. Came here, Saban. He got elevated in 2007, but spent 8 years working as director of college scouting for Jeff Ireland. You know, so he should know the prototypes. He should know the philosophy. But here we are, 3 years into the 4 years into this process, we've got a roster full of exceptions.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a problem. It's a very big problem.
So it's the piece I write to Steve Ross, because you guys know I write to Steve Ross. I don't care about anybody else.
Good, man.
You want to know why you have these issues that you have. Okay, well, here you go.
I got a question, and then we'll get to predictions, then we'll get to donations. Who, if you had to put blame at how the roster's constructed, what percentage of blame...
Oh, sorry.
What percentage of blame goes to Greer and what percentage of blame goes to McDaniel? Who has more say over the players? Is it Greer or is it McDaniel?
Tua. The whole roster is for him. At least on offense.
They did it wrong. I'll just say
but
that.
I guess there's accuracy
there to that. But
go ahead.
Because Chris Greer is a
accommodator.
Great word.
Thank you. We'll be here all week.
Because Chris Greer is an accommodator and he spent so much time accommodating for everybody, there's no rhyme or reason to how he does things. He's just going to accommodate you. So a lot of this is unfortunately, and I'm not a blame Chris Greer for everything. I'm not a blame Mike McDaniel for everything, but you know, that's the one of the things that I heard was made very adamantly clear. Chris, you need to stop defaulting to other people. This is your SHIT, and you need to operate and act like it. And
he admitted it.
Yeah, he did.
You saw it even with Flores, how he brought in Kyle Van Noy and how he brought in like all Flores' Patriots guys. And then,
That's who he is. And all right. I'm pretty sure Chris Greer doesn't want a whole receiver stable of 5'10" and under wide receivers.
Good point.
But Mike made a very good point, whereas when you do have an accurate quarterback, you need wide receivers who can create separation as opposed to guys who have a big, large catch radius.
Because God forbid you let your wide receiver win a 50-50 ball.
Or God forbid you get a wide receiver that's big and fast.
Well, you get that. Those are usually top 10 picks.
Yeah, I know. You had a top 10 pick when you got Waddle.
You saw, and it's funny because Devontae Parker.
We're gonna let that go.
Devontae Parker really didn't amount to much, but you saw glimpses of it when Tua had Parker, how he was throwing these back shoulder 50-50s, and he was throwing these passes to a tall receiver, and it was working. And then they were like, we're going to take all your tall receivers
was
away.
Was it working, though?
It was working enough, Omar. I always said if Tua had a big physical fast receiver, it would definitely help him out. A whole, like, you need one Tyreek and a big fast physical, or one Waddle and a big fast physical, but you need an upgrade over Parker, though. Yeah. You need that next level guy.
I've always said, even when we began the draft process, when I was tanked for Tua, and I was,
I know.
Yes,
I wasn't.
I drove the train. I know.
Which train?
It was always going to be Tua's going to eat. Tua's an RPO quarterback, and I thought he was always going to eat on the slant. Like, he could throw a slant, and that receiver is going to catch it in stride, and he's going to do whatever he's going to need to do with it. And I think he could still throw it. But do you really want to throw a slant to a 5'10", 190-pound receiver? But in his defense, and I'm not a big Devontae Parker fan and advocate, because Devontae probably was the worst route running receiver I've ever seen.
Yeah.
But he can catch a contested ball.
Yes.
He couldn't do much, but he could catch a contested ball.
The interception against the Colts that was overthrown to Tyreek Hill, if that was Gesicki, that's caught. Like, you saw him throw those passes to Gesicki. The Ravens game where we had the comeback, he threw that touchdown in the back of the end zone. Either Gesicki was going to catch or was going to fly out of the back of the – like, get the man more than 5'11" receivers. And then they were like, we'll get Westbrook, and where's Westbrook?
They're like, ain't nobody was going to catch that pass to overthrew.
It wasn't that much higher than where he jumped it.
TD, because if you notice, Tyreek started jumping – Or prepared himself to jump and decided pretty quickly on there's no way I can get it, and then didn't even try for it.
So he quit.
I think somebody who's 6'4 or 6'5.
Like, Jamar Chase is catching that. Justin Jefferson is catching that. Like, they're going to catch that ball, but we don't have them. Anyway, predicting the game, I will go last. We'll start with TD. What's your prediction for this game?
Man, I got the Dolphins bouncing back in this one. I have them having a solid game, putting up 27 points. We don't get in that 30-point range, but we're going to have enough fun and explosiveness to where we feel better about what we saw as a fan base for sure. 27 points for Miami, but I do see the New England Patriots putting up 20. It'll be like 13 points, and then at the last minute they'll get another score in there, but we're going to have some separation by the middle of the third quarter. Where it's like textbook every time we play New England. It's tight the whole game. And then the third quarter, one mess up by them, we take advantage, two possessions, and we coast the rest of the way just like that. I think it's going to be no difference this year. So we win this game, and we feel better about those guys going out there competing. And then we go to Buffalo.
All right, Alan, what's your prediction?
Pain. I still don't have great vibes about this team. But there's a talent gap where the Dolphins are clearly better than the Patriots, which wasn't the case against the Colts. And they're playing at home. I feel a little queasy about this game. But I do have them pulling it out, let's say like 23-20.
Alan, you might be bad luck. You're the only one picked against us last week.
And I was right.
Yeah, but your queasiness, I don't like that thing.
I'm sorry. I still don't have great vibes about this team.
If we lose, don't give a
bitch. Why don't you have great vibes about this team?
Because I didn't have good vibes coming into the regular season because of what the offseason happened, the deal with Jonnu Smith, the deal with Jalen Ramsey. There was bad juju over this team. No offense to Brent's. Julian, there was bad juju over this team the entire offseason. Bunch of guys miss a lot of time in training camp, and then they go out and play like dog crap against the Colts. So So nothing has changed for me to believe that this team is anywhere close to being like clicking. So this is why I still have and the Patriots. And I'm sorry, I mean to cut you off. But I'm a big believer in Mike Vrabel. I think he's a hell of a coach. That team did not look good in week one. That's the type of coach who behind the scenes is going to the kick in the butt. Don't think those Patriots didn't get it after the way they played against Las Vegas.
Well, so they're going to come out fighting. They're going to fight.
That's why I'm queasy about this game. I think the Dolphins pull it out, but it's not going to be easy.
Omar, what's your prediction?
I don't like New England's roster. I do like the people who build that team. I do like the – not just the people who build the team. I'm a huge Mike Vrabel fan. I would have banged the drum for Steve Ross to fire everybody and go get Mike Vrabel if I didn't know he was already going to get the New England job.
Ooh, I would have loved Vrabel.
Yeah, it's just a way that he coaches, and it's an in-your-face approach. Love it. However, you can't be at any more desperate point. And now the only thing that I'm wondering and thinking about for this team and this organization – are you,
Now Didi started laughing. Don't shut up.
Doug, you're telling me to shut up.
What's going on, Didi?
we couldn't be more desperate. And in my mind, I was just like, I hate when I hear stuff like that because I try to build myself to have hope for the team every week. And when you say it just hits my head when you say that. What if we lose? Oh my God! Like it's in my soul. Like this is the worst.
If you lose Sunday, Mike McDaniel ain't making it to October.
No.
You might as well hope y'all leasing, not buying.
It's like embarrassing for me because I talk about him all day, and it's like I stick up for him out here in the streets. But man,
it's hard to stick up for them right now. Like everybody, it's open season on these Dolphins. It's like so funny to watch. Like I think it was Wednesday. I put up a podcast about first players only meeting. Uh-huh. Like and then by Friday, the nation is caught on to. Oh my God, they had a players only meeting after week one, and it just became like. Open season, bash, bash, bash.
Oh, it started before that.
Now Stephen A. has got a whole of it, and it's just this is my thing about it. You could say whatever you want about this team right now. There's no repercussions, no consequences to it because of what they got going on. And you could say right now Mike McDaniels has lost his team and who can argue against it? Like who? Even if I've been there every day. Tupac's been there every day. I've seen a team that quit on their coach in Joe Philbin. This is not the case, but how could I argue against it?
Yeah.
No, so who are you taking, Miami or New England?
I'm taking Miami. I mean, your back is against the wall at this point. You got to come out fighting. Now, if you can't come out fighting. Then we know what it is. You just soft.
So I am down bad on Miami. I'd rather be surprised than let down. And I was let down week one.
That's you.
I don't know, man. As of right now, I'm picking New England. I just.
Man, Doug, stop there and restart the stream.
When Dougley Do-Wrong loses hope.
You hurt my heart, bro.
I'm picking New England because everyone keeps talking, and it's the same. Week one, it was Mike McDaniel didn't lose an opening game, and 11 years, the Colts haven't won one, and now it's Tua hasn't lost to the Patriots, and Mike McDaniel hasn't lost to the Patriots, and it's just... They keep throwing it out there, and Mike Vrabel loves to spank our team. So as of right now, and I'm getting a lot of crap for it, but again, I would love to be wrong. And again, I'd rather be surprised than let down. I'm down bad on this team, especially with the fact that it's like one thing after another coming out about, Waller's not going to practice. And then Mike McDaniel's like, I don't even know. Maybe next week. Just cut the cord on it, man. Move on. DeLucci's on practice squad. Like, it's just one thing after another. So
Yeah, see, but here's the thing, and this is a good question for you, Doug, because when the diehards like you, you quit, become apathetic on the team, that's when Steve Ross has got a problem.
Exactly.
So what would make you inject a little bit more hope into the situation, if anything?
Beat New England, not by three. Like, beat New England. Give me, like, a 27-17 win against New England. Be competitive against Buffalo. You're not beating Buffalo.
You're not.
Lose by 10. Lose by 14 to Buffalo.
14? Damn.
You got me back, right? Because I expect them to lose 30 to, like, 10 to Buffalo. Like, I expect us at some point that Josh Allen's not even in the game. Like, what I saw against the Ravens to do against the Dolphins defense, they're gonna destroy us. And then you got the Jets. So it's like, if we can get to 2-2 at the end of September and we're competitive in the next three games and win two of them, you got me back, because the schedule eases up a little bit. You got the Panthers. That's where you got me back. But if you go out and you suck again against the Patriots and eke out a win, and then you get destroyed in Buffalo, it's like, you got the Chargers, you got the Ravens, you got Buffalo again, you got the Steelers, you got Cincinnati. Like, you start to sit there and go, you need to make a change. But I was saying when the season ended, they needed to make a change. And then he came out with that stupid letter that I now post all over their stuff.
You know, when we will know when there's a lot of trouble, and when we ask Doug for his prediction, and he'll be like, I don't care.
Yeah, I'm not there yet. I'm not there yet. I'm getting close, but I'm not there. Doug, what are you doing? Man, Mike McDaniel's still here. Like, it just doesn't matter anymore. We have 800, almost 900 people in here. Be sure to hit that like button. We have a little less than 800 away from 9,000 subs. So hit that sub button. Let's get to these donations. Jacob with the tenor said, love the show, fellas. I follow all you for some time. With something spiraling, it may be hard to tell me, but who on this team could actually have a breakout year?
Washington.
Yeah.
Patrick Paul.
I was actually going to say that.
Patrick Paul.
Yeah. Eichenberg. He gonna get a chance.
Saw him in the locker room the other day.
How's he run? Is he gonna be ready in 3 weeks? Because we're gonna need him.
He looked better than the last time I saw him. I'll put it that way.
He was. It's his leg, right? Like, he was limping pretty bad last time.
Yeah.
Kamal hitting that join button. Appreciate you,
Kamal.
Let's see. Patrick, my man Patrick. On Dolphins Collective tonight, Walmart declares that Hall of Fame quarterback is wrong about Tua. Oh, he has it?
Oh, no. When did I see that?
Is that the Kurt Warner video? Is that what he's talking about?
Yeah, I got to break that down. Hey,
come on, let's address it, Doug. You ready? I know you're ready. Let's
see how much time we have.
Oh, I need some help, huh? All right, let's go.
Well, I have it queued, so if we want to listen to it, but
I don't think that the claims are wrong, and I hear what he's saying.
He's missing it.
They're not. He's saying that they're not concepts that are aligned with each other.
He's been talking about that. Yeah,
there are. It's like, that's over there, and then here's my number one target. Here's my number one receiver. But I'm sorry, and I agree with anybody who says Tua is a one read quarterback. Come on, man. Like, Tua is a three read quarterback. Tua goes
seven at least.
Yeah, thank you. I was gonna go nine, but okay, we'll
even back to the playoff game in Kansas City. Kurt Warner was talking about the fact that the way that the routes are structured, it does not benefit the quarterback. He was talking about it all the way back then. And he brought it back again. He was like,
okay, the routes are structured for a system that's built for him.
Oh, and here's the thing. He's talking about how difficult that system is for quarterbacks. When in San Francisco, there's been a litany of guys who we look at and would never go, oh, man, that guy's a great quarterback. And they all have passer rating, your favorite stat, in the hundreds. So that system can't be that difficult or that hard on quarterbacks.
And I'm sorry, Kurt Warner was wrong on this point. He said, you know, I'm used to an offense where you give the quarterback indicators. You put a defender at conflict. McDaniels put defenders in conflict. He literally makes that outside linebacker. If he takes the flat, you got the seam or the slant. If you stay home, you got the flat. If the corner comes down, they stay home, you got the wheel. Like, he actually does that in the system. What's happening, what you're seeing now, are those cover four looks and things where they drift back and then the middle linebackers beeline in the flat and the outside linebacker stays still and Tua's like, all three of them covered. And I ain't, you don't have me practice looking back the other way.
They do practice that.
No, you know how they don't practice it, Omar? Because the other two guys on the other side, they run 10 yards and look on the right side like, is it over? They don't practice it. Film shows you that. The two receivers on the other side are staring at the opposite side because they know where the ball going.
Here's my thing. Here's my thought. Something is clearly broken with the offense. This is not the offense that we saw in 2023.
Yeah.
When's the last time you saw Tua throw a deep ball? I've seen a couple in practice, but not on the consistent basis that I would like to. Where are the RPOs gone? Where have they gone? Then on top of that, you use play action a lot in 2023. Obviously, in the first game, you didn't have that much play action. But even when I'm watching practice, I don't see play action.
Mm.
It's not part of what you're doing. And since when can Tua not operate under center? Play action, RPOs, rollouts. Diversify your offense. I would like to see Tua throw a 15-yard out or a comeback on the outside. Like,
oh, here it comes. Go ahead. Go ahead, TD.
You know what, Alan?
I'm going to mature in this moment and just let Omar have that blast.
If he can roll to his left, he could throw a 15-yard out. He could throw a comeback. Left.
Yeah, make sure his
out.
Left.
Shoot.
Yeah.
He could.
You can have it, Omar. You can have the 15-yard outs in the comebacks if you think he can make that throw on a consistent basis. I've seen him make the throw,
especially with a rollout. But yeah,
okay. I'm starting to appreciate you more and more, TD. You said what I need people to start to say.
Oh, on a consistent basis.
Yeah,
because he can do it, but can he be consistent doing it? I don't try to add that, dog. I try to trigger.
Can't make it, and when he shouldn't throw it, and Poupard knows this. Is when he's trailing big and cornerbacks can just sit on his routes. That's when he shouldn't throw it.
See, prime example in the chat. Live squad said Tua can't throw on the run. Shake my head. That's what I'm saying.
He has. Can he do it consistently?
My biggest knock, and we're going to move on after this, my biggest knock on why I didn't want to pay Tua his contract and I wanted him to play on the fifth year, which people love to forget, is because he couldn't stay healthy. And he couldn't play on a high level on a consistent basis. And they should have let him ride the fifth. Yeah.
And that is the fairest assessment that exists. And why can't people just live with that? Live with that reality.
Exactly. Brett with the tenor says, feeling lame for thinking this team was a doppelganger of the 1990 squad. There was more than a little inaccurate.
It's only one week, Brett. Only one game.
Fish pilot with the
it doesn't look good right now, but it's only one game.
they could turn it around, but will they is the big question. Fish pilot with the center said, hope the home fans give RD a standing ovation when/if they get their first stop this year.
And already? Jesus.
My question is, how quickly will the boos come?
Oh, quick.
Three and out. If they have a three and out to start the game.
Very quick. British Finn with the €2. Or pound. I think it's pound if you're British. Until Ross goes, nothing will change. Sell the team.
Why do people always blame Ross? I don't get it.
Ross ain't going.
He deserves blame. Not all the blame, but he's not a football guy.
I think last Sunday, when he saw Jim Irsay's daughter take over and lead at the halftime thing, and the tribute to Jim Irsay who passed, I think that inspired him more than ever to hand the organization over to his daughters.
Oh, yeah.
Make sure you choose the right one.
No, it's not the right one. They're both going to get them? It.
Which They're is good. Two-headed.
You know, he's always been about minorities, supporting minorities and supporting women. Like, I remember when I when he first got over here, back in the day, Pupar can testify to this, there were no women around the Miami Dolphins organization. Maybe the people who worked in the cafeteria and Gail and the secretaries. And then all of a sudden, all we saw were women trainers and women people on the staff and women everywhere. And I do believe he's going to hand his organization over to his daughters, no question.
Oh, is that, hasn't he already said it? Or is that
yeah, he's already said it. Yes.
And that's why I'm hoping and praying, which it's not going to happen for Steelers' downfall. That ain't happening.
Oh,
that ain't happening. Jacob with the fiver. Wear white at the game. I want to see how empty the stadium is with the Aqua Saints. Oh, prime example. And I think Omar talked about this. Prime example. If you watched last night's game, they did a white out for the Packers, and when they showed the aerial shot of the stadium, the whole stadium was white. We're playing during the day. They don't know what they're doing. Prime example. Yeah, like, I think the pictures for the Dolphins Colts game, which obviously was a horrible loss, but they're still not up on the website. Like, the most recent pictures are the Jaguars preseason game.
Yeah, some layoffs, though.
Bad, man. Photo trips with the tatter said, do you think Ross hasn't fired Greer yet because of the Brian Flores lawsuit still going on? He had a front row seat to everything that transpired with the bribes of the $100K a game and tampering.
Allegedly.
There is that out there. We're not going to say no, and probably another reason why they won't fire him, and they'll just move him somewhere else.
What's a Omar question?
What?
Because he the one on Twitter.
Do you think that they didn't fire Greer yet because of Brian Flores? Move on. Lenny with the fiver says, I'd like to get an opinion from each of you on Chris Greer as a GM during his 10 years since he took over. And be honest, in my opinion, he's been trash. We'll just real quick give him a grade. I give him a C+. Omar, what do you give
Greer?
Oh, I thought I was being nice. TD?
B-.
Alan?
C-.
Oh. Randy with the tenor says, any discussion on McSoft versus Vrabel win-loss record?
They haven't played each other as head coaches.
No, they have.
Yeah,
He did get some of that Tennessee work.
Vrabel cost him the AFC's championship. They had beaten Tennessee in 2023.
Oh, I thought you meant as head coaches.
Yeah, 2023. Wasn't he the head coach?
Yeah, he was
the
head coach.
Oh, I forgot. He got some of that work too then, huh?
Yep, with Will Levis. Eric with the Aider said, LaFleur had no – is he still in the Titans?
I don't know, but you're bringing me down to earth on this game.
Yes, he's on IR with the Titans.
He's on IR the whole year. That's right.
I love how you – so, Alan, you looked up to think – but essentially, you looked up to Omar, and then Omar answered the question. It was like a Brady Bunch thing. Eric with the $8 donation said, LaFleur had no issue getting in his players' ass when they make mistakes. McSoft will cheer his guys on and get them ice cream.
We're not going to do this McSoft thing. We can do McGenius in a mocking tone. We're not. He's not soft.
But that's not a... That's not his personality. The true
guy is not his personality. And the one thing I respect about Mike McDaniel is Mike McDaniel is not changing for nobody. And he is going to be, I've heard less jokes this week. It ain't funny. Nothing ain't funny. So there's no reason to joke around. But I like the consistency. Now, does that mean that his players like it or they checked in or they bought in? Like, and that's my thing. Okay. I thought the players bought in. We'll see.
We will. William with the tenor said, people say that the team usually takes after the characteristics of their head coach. After the Colts game, it's clear they can't be fixed with McDaniel still as the head coach. Agree or disagree? We just addressed this. We will see how they do. This is the biggest, we all laugh about his whole adversity and, blah, 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 blah.
Creates opportunity.
This is the biggest one, man, because literally his job is on the line. So, like, he's got to coach his butt off on Sunday. Because if not, like Omar said, he ain't making it to October.
You know what's funny? And I thought about this today when he talked about how well they practiced this week. And I thought to myself, Poupart, for 4 years, have you ever heard that there was a bad Mike McDaniel week of practice?
Sometimes, but any coach, sometimes you'll hear it after the game. You know, like, I don't think we were really sharp at practice last week. They'll say that after a loss, but you ask them that on a Friday, they've always.
I remember some coach telling us before the season, before the game, there was like, really? We didn't have a good week of practice. I don't remember which one
either.
Yeah, but I do remember it. I was like, word.
Well, Tyreek said they had a good week this week.
Okay.
There you go.
Do you believe everything that Tyreek says?
You try to get me in trouble. I'm piss him off.
Miguel with the tenor said, run the ball this game like the Pats did to the Bills in 2021 Monday night. Only way to victory. Keep the ball out of Tua's hands as much as possible, especially when the right side severely compromised. I don't know how far that'll get you, to be honest with you. If it works, it works, but we'll see. Kamala with the $2 donation said, think Miami could lose the franchise if Ross sells?
Not a chance.
He's not selling.
One, he's not selling. Two, a stadium would be sold with the franchise. Who's going to buy a stadium that has no use?
Would he have to sell F1 with it?
It's part of the sports holding, and it's probably just as profitable as Dolphins.
Is it like a yearly like a certain amount of years of a contract?
I'm sure they've got the contract locked up for it's a race that
many years. I think they have it
10 yeah. 15 years or something
like yeah.
that. Yeah, yeah,
interesting. KZill with the tour said Greer doesn't cook, he shops for first time chefs.
That's not Greer, that's Ross.
Yeah, because he's afraid of rejection. But
no, that's not why. It's he wants people. He's actually told me the reason why. He wants to make people's dreams career life changing, so that they are become loyal to him. it's how he's operated in every phase of his business.
Makes sense. T with the $5. Armchair queen, I'm assuming that means, because again, it looks like a beard for me. Who is your favorite Dolphin quarterback not named Dan Marino? And who is your favorite all-time NFL quarterback? And who is your favorite current quarterback?
That's Arm Queen, I think that's addressed to me.
Yes. Yeah, so who's your favorite Dolphin quarterback not Marino?
Chad Pennington.
Who's your favorite all-time quarterback?
Proving that I'm not an arm queen, because Chad Pennington didn't have a good arm.
That's true. Who's your favorite all-time quarterback?
I mean, to watch or what? To watch, I think Michael Vick was the guy I enjoyed the most. I mean, and my favorite QB. I'm gonna duck after I say this.
Justin Herbert.
No, Josh Allen.
Yeah.
Josh Allen. Okay.
I hate
Herbert's number two.
How long
do we have to
suffer being in a division with a great quarterback? Because Josh Allen is just he's good.
He's good. He's fun to watch, too, because it's like
he overrated.
William with another tenor says, if week one repeats itself in week two and three, do we start consider trading Hill, trade to you can't trade to it yet, our pass you rush can, for as many picks as we can get? Will Greer and McDaniel be in unemployment line and week four? Greer won't, right? Will they just get rid of them both, or it would be one then the other?
You don't kind of GM in the
middle. McDaniel is the oddball. Yep.
And then we have to wait till the end of the year. So it would be literally up to Greer on what he can get for Hill.
Hill's definitely being traded. I think today was confirmation that he knows he's being traded.
If you lose week two?
If they start at 1-3?
Tyreek knows he's being traded. Let's not pretend like he said some very key things that people are not going to pay attention to, because they're going to pay attention to his comments that they're going to connect to Tua and whatever. He basically was like, all my kids are here, I don't want to move. I'm very thankful for the job that I have, but I understand the nature of this business. And by nature of this business, he means I need to go somewhere where I can help them win whatever they're going to win, so that I can get me a new contract.
I keep telling people he needs the ball so he can get favored and get that new deal. That's why you got to get him the football, because if you keep stealing him out every week, he's going to start getting frustrated because he knows that's the next bag, how much it's worth.
But also he's got to.
No, hold on. Now go back to the other one, because I want to address this. Omar, let me say my piece and you can go back to Tyreek if you want. He's not getting anything. If the Dolphins are in sell mode because week one repeats itself in 2 and 3, you're not getting anything for 2 in a trade.
No.
Got too much money coming.
No,
Which of your pass rushers you think are getting you premium picks? The only one who does is Chop Robinson, and he's a young player on his rookie contract. True.
I think you can get what define premium picks.
A 1 or a 2.
Oh, hell no. Yeah, there's I don't think there's anybody on this roster that's going to get you a 1 or 2.
You can get a 4 for Chubb.
No. You could get no Chubb.
Maybe.
No, I'm not. No.
Maybe.
Team that need it.
He's a 1 year rental. You're not getting a 4 for a 1 year rental.
He got another year next year under contract.
He's $20 million.
Yeah, I know. Obviously, he's going to be restructured for the team that get him.
So anybody who wants him can get him next year. Anybody who's traded is going to be a finishing piece for a title contender. That's
like I said, which edge rushers gets you anything other than Chop?
Jalen Phillips, I think, can get you. Oh, I think Jalen
maybe a fourth.
Yeah, you're a lot more. I like Jalen as a guy, but you're a lot more in love with him as a player than I am.
You're right. He got carved up by the tight end. I think that's partly because of what he's being asked to do. But I think what he's being asked to do is predicated on the fact that nobody else can do it.
Mm.
So this one
can't do it either. I mean, you can't cover Tyler Warren either. So
I mean, Tyler Warren is
that guy's a dude. I mean,
yeah.
So this one from Snyder, $20 donation, said, am I putting 500 or 1,000 on the Pats money line plus 105?
That would be for you, Doc, because you're the one who said they're winning.
I don't know.
Man. Save your money, man. Win or lose.
The Dolphins only given a point and a half. So
I wouldn't bet on the Dolphins this week, because you know what? You don't have no idea what the real Dolphins are. I don't either. And I cover the team and I see them daily for months.
Part of why I'm feeling queasy, because I don't know about this team yet. I have no. And Doug, if you're saying that the spread is 1.5, that basically means if we're going under the
and we're at home, that means we're actually underdogs. That means
they think New England's a better team.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
we're 3 points.
Yeah,
Chip Kincaid dropping a 50 burger said Canes apply the ultimate pressure with a sellout.
Miami USF is a sellout.
I'm assuming.
There's no way that's a sellout. No,
I'd be surprised.
Yep, maybe Gators UM. I don't know. I'm confused.
Appreciate the donation though.
hey, we back, baby. That's all about.
Nah, don't do that.
Mm-hmm. What you mean? I know. Waiting about week 7.
Too soon, Playboy. They have a habit of dropping the ball.
Well, we differ.
Chris with the tenor says, I never miss an episode, so I know the O-line statistics, but you can always see into his feet and McDaniel's play calling when they don't trust the line to hold up.
Boom, 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 boom.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who doesn't trust it? Tua and McDaniel?
You could tell when he starts, like, because if you remember when Tua had a trash O-line, he started to, like, they called him checkdown too. I remember because he kept just throwing checkdowns because he felt any iota of that pocket. He was like, nope, I'm getting sacked. Let me get rid of this ball. And you started to notice it in the Colts game. You started getting the tap dancing feet, and he was like trying to like, I got to do something. Like he starts to get fidgety when he can feel like this line is not helping me right now.
Only mobile quarterbacks you trust.
It's like,
I agree with you, TD. I agree with that.
Yeah. Mobile quarterbacks is y'all tripping, but let me go take care of this for y'all. Yeah, that's
what I need it. But here's the thing, though. Me personally, I don't like mobile quarterbacks, and I'm in the same boat as Omar, because you saw. I thought Jaden Daniels was going to get injured last night. That man was getting destroyed. He got his ankle rolled up under him. The mobile quarterback that I need is Josh Allen. So that's what I'm looking for.
But the new like version of Herbert. Rough.
Jordan Love and Jaden Daniels, I promise you they'll both be hurt by the
But by the here's the thing though, TD. Justin Herbert, didn't he already like fracture his rib from running? Like, he's already been banged up. You've never seen
that. That wasn't running. He got sucked in the pocket.
Yeah.
But again, he's already, you don't see that really from Josh Allen. Hey, so
I know what I saw last week. That was Josh Allen on the field.
I hope they don't play. I hope either of those teams, Baltimore and Buffalo, don't play like they play that Sunday night game. Because good Lord, if that's what the rest of the division got to go through, holy smokes.
Those are the two best teams in the conference.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man.
My Lord.
60-10. Oh, man. But you see the difference, man.
Yeah.
In every facet, the fighting in the trenches, the physicality in the secondary, the linebacker, like everything is flying with intensity.
I was watching that game. I'm like, the Dolphins are not anywhere near either of these teams.
No, not even in the same country as those two teams. Yeah. Like, it's.
And I hate you can tell the difference.
Yeah, it's so. And even with the Ravens secondary just getting torched by Josh Allen, they still were like, so. It's just, no, not even. If Derrick Henry doesn't fumble the ball, the Ravens win. And that's what it took. It took that bounce. And then, which you can't do. Like, that was a game versus the two great teams. And you can't do that. And unfortunately, the Ravens, got the bad bounce, and Buffalo took over. Devin with the 20 says, "I have a suggestion for the offense. With both the right tackle and right guard out, why don't they have Tua do more rollouts to the left side to help with the protection? They did it on the 2-point conversion at the end of the game, because that would take making adjustments."
Also cuts the field in half for your.
Yeah, you take away the illusion of manipulating the safety with his mechanics. That's one thing Tua is good at, holding off a safety, moving him one way when he knows he's coming back the other way. You roll out defense. Hey, let's follow it, and you don't have any illusion, any misdirection or anything. You don't want him throwing across his body back.
No. But, we're going to get out of here. Enjoy the game Sunday, everyone. Again, if you want to get yourself some tickets, use SeatGeek, promo code PHINS.
I heard they were really cheap.
And wear something white. Let's show some team spirit.
Is that a thing they asked them to do? Wear white
out. Yeah, they're white. Are they wearing throwbacks this year? They have not announced it yet.
No. From what I heard, there's no throwbacks this year. No game would be a throwback.
You're really pissing the fan base off.
that's going to work. Jeez.
Yeah, really. They got
the rivalry jersey again in week 4.
Yeah.
Did you see how bad the sales are doing on that? No, they're not. I think we have the lowest selling jersey because a lot of Dolphin fans after that Colts game.
What jersey are you going to buy?
That's the other thing. Why have it only be active players? Throw Marino in there. Throw like.
Oh, that's a good one.
Right? Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. But we'll be back Monday. Short week next week. TD's traveling. He's going to Buffalo. He's out of his mind.
Why?
He's heading to Buffalo.
What's wrong with Buffalo?
I will never. Omar, are you going to Buffalo for this game?
Yeah.
He's going to go. This is his, again, he said he's going to go in the hotel, hang out, get some food, go to the game, back to the hotel, hang out.
I want to see if I could fly in that day, but I can't.
I'm going in Tuesday.
So we will be live.
You're going in Tuesday. I'm going in Wednesday.
Hey guys, it's an important announcement Doug's making. Let him talk.
We'll be live Monday at six. We'll be live before the games because there's two Monday night games. So we will be live 6 to 7 right before the 7:30 game starts. 6 to 7. And then we'll be live Friday, same time, 6 to 7. There you go.
Omar, like, did I miss the memo?
Yeah, I thought we just had a conversation about 6:30 starts.
Oh, that was Friday.
It was today. Behind the scenes, ladies and gentlemen.
Omar, there's a Monday night game at 7 on Monday. We want to get done for people to watch the start of the game.
We'll put our text messages up so people can really be behind the scenes. Go check out Omar Kelly on Miami Herald, Alan Poupart, Miami Dolphins on SI. TD at youtube.com/TDFinstalk and myself at youtube.com/WDurong. Hopefully Monday we're here, we're laughing, we're having a good time. We beat the snot out of the Patriots and we get ready for Buffalo. Short turnaround, short week. But yeah, that's what we got for you again. Monday, not Tuesday, Monday. We'll see you Monday at 6 o'clock. Peace.
Jinx Allen, you bad luck.